I'd like to call this Council and Budget Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call. Councillor McDermott is with us now.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
Thank you. Are there any, there are no announcements or addendums this evening with respect to this agenda. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, Councillor Passero, I'm going to hand the chair to you as the Vice Chair of Finance.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. We're going to begin tonight with our presentations. First, we have Craig Schufelt, CEO for the Fort Erie Public Library. And I would just remind my colleagues that tonight's purpose is to hear from our delegates. We will discuss and receive the reports presented by staff afterwards for information purposes, and we will debate them fully January 25th. Tonight is the opportunity, though, to ask questions of the delegates for clarification. Much easier to do that tonight while they're here to provide us with the answers. But if there is any information you feel that you would like to have for the 25th, we can request that as well at this time, and they can report back to us in advance of our deliberations. Mr. Schufelt? Mr. Graber to start? Welcome, Mr. Graber.
Yeah, I'm the full-bodied version of Mr. Schufelt. Mr. Mayor, councillors, staff, media, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Friends of the Fort Erie Library, as well as other library board members, glad to see them all out here tonight. I'll get right into this. Make sure I hit the right key. I'll just highlight some of the things that you see on this slide. The $5,300 we received from the OLCF grant was used to purchase technology that is primarily used with the children and teens. You'll hear a couple of things about it because we're certainly excited about what we've purchased and how it's being used. So one of the big events in 2016 was the hiring of a new children and teen librarian, Carissa Alcock, who has done an outstanding job with collections and with introducing technology into our library programs. We've begun the implementation of a new strategic plan. Last January and February, we decided that we would update the strategic plan, and a few things came out of that that we're starting to implement now. I think we shared our strategic plan with you earlier. Well, I say this year, but it's last year that we shared it with you. Anyway, with all the input that we've received, we have put off some of the purchases that we had planned on making. And I guess, you know, when we did the strategic plan, we wanted to look both internally and externally. So not only did we get input from library staff, administrators, and board members, but also from community leaders, town administration, and elected officials. So with that, one of the things that we did find in going through this process is that we felt that we had to have an RFP done and get a group in to take a look at the way the library is set up. We had plans on buying certain new furniture and things for the library, but wanted to get this part done first. So we've held off on some programming and some purchases of capital equipment, but certainly the space planning study is in process right now, and certainly we appreciate the assistance that we received from Bart Minaj, who was a town employee at the time, in helping us with the RFP process. I mentioned it, we didn't complete much of our capital work this year because of the new strat plan. So we're waiting now until we've got a new structured capital plan and the study is completed, and then we can get the direction that we need to move forward. We have begun some improvements at the Stevensville branch, and you'll see more at all of our branches over the next couple of years. The electrical repairs at Centennial obviously weren't a planned expense, but it was something that needed resolution once the problem was presented. So we'd like to express our appreciation to Sean Hutton and, of course, to the town for working with us and especially on the division of the costs. Thank you. This slide is something that we take great pride in each year because it shows that we are working with other groups to maximize our resources and extend our reach working with our community partners. Something that's coming up this July 1st, 2017 is that the branches, well, the Centennial branch will be open for 4 additional hours. So there'll be a bunch of activities going on to commemorate Canada's 150th birthday, and we're doing that in conjunction with the Fort Erie Volunteer Fire Department, the Kinsmen Club, and other partners as we move forward in this project. Funding for our after-school homework help program ended June 2016. From that time, we have assumed the costs associated with the program. We continue to believe in the value of this program, and it continues to grow at Centennial Branch. For example, after averaging 5 to 6 students for much of the 2015 school year, starting in September and building up into the months that we're into now, we're averaging 10 or more students every day. Crystal Ridge is the first year that we're there, and we expect the same thing that's happening at Centennial will happen there, that it's slowly building. We introduced a number of new technologies into our library programs, including robots that allow kids to learn coding and programming. And it's something certainly the kids and even the kids and us adults like to see, and it's amazing that, you know, what can be learned at an early age. We've introduced new children's programs at all 3 branches and have also expanded adult program across the system. So here's a couple of pictures showing the homework help program. Again, it's great success at Centennial. The program continues to struggle in finding both students and tutors at Crystal Ridge, but we're planning to increase our reach out to schools in the area for the balance of this school year. We purchased a new 3D printer, so now we have one at both Centennial and at Crystal Ridge. This month, we'll be purchasing a scanner for the printer that will allow us to scan an item, convert it to a digital file, and print a duplicate using our printer. After upgrading our copiers, we are also able now to implement wireless printing that allows our patrons to print from their own devices. So a few things in addition to the 3D printers and the 3D scanner, we now have a vinyl cutter, a die cutter, and even a button maker. Certainly expanding some of the things that we're doing. But here's a sample of some of the items that have been made using the 3D printer. We continue to reach about 35% of our population, at least in terms of how many utilize library resources using their library card. So it's an area that we see that we have some potential for growth, and we have 185 items that were borrowed annually. We want to see that get over the 200,000 mark. Here's a couple of examples of our children's programs. The picture on the left shows a Harry Potter program, and the picture on the right is a Stuffy sleepover program held at Stevensville. And if we're all prepared to get into our pajamas, I'm sure we could arrange an adult night with our Stuffies. We've had a number of popular adult programs. The picture on the left is a tea tasting seminar that was filled up to capacity and was our most popular in terms of attendee feedback. The picture on the right is from our annual trivia event, which was hosted once again by Councillor Passero. Despite a perceived move away from people reading books, we've seen pretty much consistent circulation over the past several years. We believe that there's still room for growth if we can reach more of our current non-users. You can see that we've had slight variations up and down over the past 4 years, but again, we hope to cross the 200,000 item mark, hopefully sooner than later. Here's a slide showing our quarterly circulation. As with most years, the summer months tend to be our busiest in terms of circulating items. Much of this can be attributed to our summer reading program, as well as adults having more time to read. Not surprisingly, our circulation by branches tends to correlate with the population of the service area and the size of our facilities. Circulation for e-materials continues to grow in 2016, although the percentage change isn't as significant as we've seen in past years. I don't believe we've yet reached a plateau as more people continue to purchase mobile devices and learn how to use them. This slide is one we include every year. It shows the values that we believe any public library provides to their community. We continue to be an open and welcoming environment for all members of the community. I know you're waited with bated breath for the budget items, so I'll ask Mr. Shufelt to come forward.
If you could just remain there, Larry. Any members of council have questions or comments for Mr. Graber regarding 2016 highlights before we go into 2017 budget? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions, actually. It's not page numbered, so I apologize. It's under programs and services. For the introduction of robot and technology for coding and programming, teaching children that. Do you use any advertising vehicles to attract those children, or is it just through the public schools or the other schools throughout the town?
Well, I guess we can say you're probably more apt to answer this.
A lot of it is through the schools. Carissa has done a great job of getting out into the schools herself, not just sending a little flyer or something to the school. We do it as well internally, signage throughout the library, talking to people who are already in attendance at our programs. We've also begun using social media to advertise some of our programs. We found that's actually been quite effective. I'm sure you're all aware it's getting more difficult to reach that wide audience. It used to be newspaper radio. Now you're not many people reading the newspaper, necessarily listening to local radio if it's around. And social media we have found has probably been the most effective tool over the past year.
Do you ever bring that show on the road to the schools to introduce it so that they have a visual concept of what that's about?
Yes, actually, Carissa was recently out at John Brandt Elementary in Ridgeway, and she brought a small robot and had it programmed at it so that it would have a little conversation with her about being at the school.
One more question.
One thing I was going to say is we actually also utilize those for the homework help program. With the homework help, we found a lot of kids now. It's different than probably when all of us were kids where we actually had homework. I find my kids and most of the kids that come don't have homework. They're not assigned it as much as it used to be. So we've taken what's called the STEAM approach to the homework help program. So we don't have the kids in there dribbling basketballs, running around, tackling, which we would have, and I've seen happen in there when we don't have structured programming. The STEAM approach is science, technology, engineering, arts, music, and math. 1 day of the week each. So when they don't have anything to do, we will actively run a program, an educational program for them.
I just have one final question for you, and it's under information technology with respect to the 3D printers for public use. What is the cost to the public to use the 3D printer, and what kind of revenues does it generate for you?
I would say so far the revenues have not been major. It's still in its infancy. This new printer offers more capability. The first one, frankly, was not 100% reliable. This has more abilities to print more intricate and larger items, actually. I was looking at Michael, my systems administrator, so I get this correct, but $2 plus 10 cents per gram for filament. And is there more of a charge for different filament? Yeah, 15 cents for some of the new, actually you can now print using a wooden filament or a metal filament. Mm-hmm. So that would be 15 cents per gram. And it has been utilized a few times. Once people learn about it, they're quite excited.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Seeing nothing further, we'll go towards 2017.
Bated breath was probably an exaggeration on Larry's part. But all right, my first slide, shows our contractual obligations for 2017. These are the expenses that we consider essential to the daily operations of our library. I'd sent out a number of documents to your worship and council last week. And if you've reviewed those, you'll have noticed, obviously, staff wages and benefits, which are listed on here, make up the huge majority of our expenditures each year in the 80% range. As go staff wages and benefits, so goes our budget. We have a number of goals for this year. The space planning programs and services study mentioned above has already begun with a completion date planned for late spring. That will affect many of our decisions over the next few years, not only regarding the physical layout and changes to our libraries, but also some of our programs and services. We've done a lot of internal discussion. We've had some visits to other libraries. The next step there will be a community consultation that will be held likely late February, early March, and members of council will likely be getting invitations for that in the next few weeks. Continuing with our goals and objectives, we have been making a concentrated effort to spread our programming out more among the three branches, especially over the past several months. This year, we would also like to make a concentrated effort to increase the number and the variety of our adult programs that we offer. We've tried some rather unique ones. The tea seminar is a perfect example. And we find when we offer those things that are maybe a little bit off the beaten path in terms of programming, it's not another book club. It's not something traditional. We get excellent attendance. And we find it's one of the ways to get adults into the library who may not necessarily have used it previously. The funds to create the reading area at the Crystal Ridge Arena have come to us thanks to the efforts of our friends of the Fort Erie Public Library, which is a rather difficult name to say, but FOFEPL. They did a great job. They actually applied for and received a grant for the reading area from the Retired Teachers of Ontario. We're now in the process of ordering materials, selecting furniture, and finalizing a location inside between the entry doors and the interior doors into the arena. We're just trying to find the right spot on the wall, essentially. Getting into the numbers, again, these were on the documents that I would have sent out last week. Our municipal grant request for this year is in the amount of $1,470,842, which represents a $21,737 or 1.5% increase over what was received in 2016. As with each of the past several years, we are not asking or requesting any development charges. We have some supplementary revenue items. I know it's a broken record. The $60,682 we received from the province remains the same, and I believe it's been the same since at or around the time I started working in libraries, which is longer than I want to admit it was now. So it's been like that for a couple of decades for sure. When we initially ran our budget, we projected a increased request of 2.6%. The way we got to the 1.5% was to take the $15,376 from our capital reserve. We've accumulated funds over the past few years, and I'll talk about that more in a few slides. So we're carrying forward $15,000 of that to get that to the 1.5%. And what this also shows you, when you look at the total of those supplementary revenue items, just under $115,000, it emphasizes the importance of town funding for the continued success and existence of our library, frankly. That number is so small when you look at asking for $1.4 million versus $114,000. This is a snapshot of our projected requests for the next 3 years. What I would stress here more than anything else is that these numbers are very, very preliminary and can change. So I don't want anybody thinking that there's a 100% chance we come in next year at 3.4%. A lot of that would depend on how things go this year, whether there's surplus funds at the end, whether money is carried forward. As always, we'll make every effort to work within whatever budget parameters are established by town administration and by council. One of our goals each year is to continue to increase our material spending as a percentage of our overall expenditures. You can see we've been doing a slow but steady climb over the past 4 years from about 10.4, I think. Now we're up over 11. Ultimately, our goal would be to get to 15%. So hopefully at some point that will take a more drastic climb. But from what I've seen from other libraries and how they're having to cut in this area, we're very happy that our graph is going up in this direction. The next few slides are just some simple funding comparisons with similar sized libraries from the region. I don't necessarily, again, they're not going to tell a complete story because there's a lot of things that go into this. But this is total operating funding per capita using 2015 numbers, which were the most recent I could utilize. This takes into account municipal funding, any special or provincial grants would be in there, any additional funding that libraries might receive for operating budgets. So you can see on a per capita basis, we are very well funded in comparison to our Niagara neighbors. Only Pelham is slightly ahead of us. Now, what goes in hand with that is the fact that on this one, you can see the difference between our library and most other Niagara our peers is that we have easily the highest number of service hours, with only Lincoln being comparable. They're the only other one at 100 plus hours, and actually nobody else is even above 70. So obviously it's a more of a challenge for us. And this third one kind of ties together the first two. And again, I did check my math a few times on this one because I had to do the math for this one, but I took those two and came up with operating costs per hour of service. And again, these measures, I wouldn't say they're simplistic, but they're not going to take into account, for example, Port Colborne may cost more per hour of service, but there may be contributing factors to that, whether it's certain staffing needs, doing certain programs. So I don't want this to be seen as a slight on any library by any means. But using this simple measure, you can see that only Lincoln operates on a more efficient dollars per hour basis, and we are again the only one with the challenge of operating three branches. Again, this is something that was in one of the documents that I sent last week showing our current financial standing. I've kind of broken it into three slides to talk about. The first one is our operations account. At the end of December 31st, 2016, we projected a balance of approximately $229,318. This has accumulated over the past few years, as I've mentioned, through staff absences, some gapping, one was through a healthy change in our benefits cost, which was excellent. So we've had surpluses that are healthy to the point of almost being too healthy. So instead of just having the money sitting in the operating account doing nothing, we obviously want to do something with that to utilize it. So we'd like to transfer just under $140,000 of that to our capital reserve. We'd like to use $75,000 of that to create an operating reserve. We don't currently have one. It's something that a lot of libraries do have. I wouldn't say 100% of them do have. And as I'd mentioned, the $15,376 that would be applied to our 2017 operating budget. So what this means for our capital account is that we currently have $175,309. We're adding that transfer from the operating, and then I've reduced it by the funds that we have committed for the next 2 years as part of our 2017-18 capital spending plan, which again I believe was shared as one of the documents last week. So at the end of that, we would have a balance of $83,000 in our capital account, obviously not taking into account anything that might fall outside of the current plan that we have. There might be something that comes up that we decide we need. Knock on wood, we don't have another experience like the Centennial Electrical one that we did have, but certainly it would help with that as well. So that would leave us starting fresh for the new year. Obviously, that's not going to be completely true because it's not happening tonight, but this is a simple snapshot of it. It would leave us with an operating reserve of $75,000, which represents about 5% of our annual operating expenditures, which we thought the 5% number was something we thought made sense. That would cover any future funding shortfalls. If we were to go over in any line item by a significant amount, obviously that would help. But I think for future funding shortfalls is where that's going to be most assistance. And again, I mentioned it would leave us with $83,000 in our capital reserve. Last item I want to mention was, again, going back to the cap, I sent this out as part of the capital spending plan, but just reviewing a few of the items that are in there. The new service desk at the Centennial branch, this is going to be the largest and most expensive of our capital expenditures. Right now we have a desk that takes up probably, if I remember my measurements right, about 500 square feet of space. It's a huge service desk if you've been in there. We'd like to have something smaller, more efficient, more ergonomically friendly for staff, and certainly more approachable for our library patrons. It would also allow us to open up more space that could be utilized for the public, whether that's through study space, whatever it might be. And anybody who's visited our libraries and sat in any of our chairs, with the possible exception of the nice reading area at the back of Crystal Ridge, knows that our seating and a number of our tables are very well-worn and in need of replacement. So that's something that we'll see across all of our branches. The study and reading space at Centennial is something that has become more of a priority, I guess I would say, over the past year. The community appreciates the fact that the libraries, public libraries in general, have moved away from a space to go get your books and be quiet to being more of a gathering place, a community hub, a place where discussion, working in partnership is encouraged. But it has taken away a little bit from those people who need to come in, who need a quiet spot, who want a spot to study. So we would like to create such a space at Centennial. And it's something that we've heard from patrons a lot more on that over the past year than we have at any time. So again, with all of these capital requests or capital plans, it's really what we're trying to do is make the library updated and a more comfortable place to be. Again, if you've used our libraries, you can see that it is necessary at all three branches. That wraps up my portion. I don't know if Larry has anything else to add, or if we'd just like to turn it back over to Councillor Passero.
Comments or questions from my colleagues, either on tonight's presentation for the 2017 through 2019 budgets, or the information that Craig previously circulated, which included kind of an outlining memo, as well as a detailed capital project outline. Mayor Redekop?
Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation, and also the information that you forwarded to us before. I want to compliment you on you and your board's ability to manage a very effective and vibrant facility in our community. I did have a couple of questions just to get some clarification, and some of this is, first of all, there seems to be a $2,000 discrepancy in what our report from our staff indicated was approved in the 2016 budget as opposed to what's in yours. Are you familiar with that?
I had 1449105 was the number I.
So theirs is a little higher. It's 1451, and hence it means that your request for an increase for 2017 is actually 1.4% as opposed to 1.5. That's better for you guys.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, good.
I'm just wondering where the disconnect came on our end from. You know. From.
Yeah. But we can get that clarified.
Yeah, that's I can talk to the, Mr. Gansen.
The second thing I'd like is if we could just go to the capital reserves that you've got in terms of transferring. And I wanted to compliment you on being very effective in your budgeting. But I know you're going to be transferring funds into two capital reserves, as I understand it. One is the capital reserve. One is an operating reserve.
Yes.
The chart that you had, which was part of your presentation and also was sent to us last week, makes reference to a building reserve. Is that different than the capital reserve?
No, we've changed all of it on our documentation to just say capital reserve because we thought that building reserve was confining. I guess it seems more limiting, so we've tried to change everything to capital reserve.
Could you go to the slide that deals with the accounts capital and it lists, that's it. So the 83,000 is the balance after you've taken out money for the projects that you've identified for 2017 and 18.
Yes.
And that would include some money coming from the operating reserve or just operating budget?
Our operating budget, which is where the money has been, that we felt there's too much, the money's just sitting there. It shouldn't just be sitting there. We should be moving into a reserve account. And again, the reason we kept it at 83 is because that takes into account the $230,000 we've considered, but more items may arise out of it. There may be unforeseen items as well.
So is the material that you sent to us last week shows that the $75,000 from this year's surplus, I believe, is being transferred into your operating reserve. 75 of the 90.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's all in one pot. So you could say it's from this year's, you could say it's from last year's. The money's all coming from the same place, whether it's 2015, 2016.
Go to the slide before that.
Sure.
So I've taken the liberty of marking up my sheet that you had emailed to us, and I've taken the 138 and moved it down to what you show as a balance as of December 31st for capital, because you say transfer to building reserve, that's capital.
Capital reserve, yes. Yeah.
So that's part of the 138,000, is it not? 138,942, so then it shows up on the next page as 138,942.
Yes, yes.
I've taken 75 and moved it into capital reserve at the end of December 2016 is 175,309, which would show up on the next page, I believe.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Then I've taken the 75
yep.
that you've transferred to the operating reserve to bulk that up to the 138,942. So that I think you've, and then you've allocated 15 towards this year's operating budget. So if you take 104 out in 2017 and 127 out in 2018, you're left with 83,251.
Yes.
Then on the next page, next slide, show an operating reserve of 75. But I think you've already spent that, haven't you?
No. Going back to here, there's $229,000 sitting in an account right now. Those three amounts, the 138, the 75, the 15, 376, if you add those up, that is the 229. So if you go to the next slide, we've already got 175 in our capital account as of today, or December 31st. We're adding the 138 from the previous slide. So there's our balance. So the operating reserve of $75,000 is exclusive of that.
So the new balance shown on this slide is the new balance of the capital reserve
only
account only.
Yes.
Go back two slides.
Sure. I know it's more difficult when you're looking on there and I'm here and trying to communicate it.
Okay, so the 229.
Right now we've got 229 in one pool, the operating, and we've got the 175 in the capital.
Okay.
As starting balances.
You know what? I'll have to. I'm trusting that you've got the money and was calculated. I'll have to spend some more time trying to.
That's fine, contact me at any time.
Yeah, and if I have any questions, I'll call.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
We were off to such a great start, too, getting the 1.5 to 1.4.
That they're still at 1.4.
Still at 1.4. Further comments or questions from members of council? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if you could just go to the page where it says library funding comparison in your
sure.
presentation.
Which of the first one? This one?
Yes.
Okay.
And just wanted to get some clarification from you. Our municipality, you operate three libraries.
Yes.
The other municipalities, how many libraries do they operate?
Pelham now is back to two. They were down to one. They're back to two. But they are also getting, for 2017, they're getting a 4% increase or something to help with those new operating hours. So that number will go up. Lincoln has two. Port, Grimsby, Thorold, I believe are all one.
That's actually all I needed to know.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Seeing nothing else, thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you.
Larry. I do want to mention, and maybe you can let me know if there are still tickets available and how people would get them, but I believe that there's a Friends of the Fort Erie Public Library pasta night tomorrow at the
yes.
Italian Hall.
Yep. There are tickets at the door. I don't know if anybody has them tonight. No. Ann, I'm surprised Ann doesn't. She's usually very, very prepared.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's a shared pasta night.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. And we will deliberate these in earnest come the 25th. Right now, we'll just go through the reports for information. Thank you both. So I don't see our next delegation present. So if somebody would like to move report CBC 04-2017, Mayor Redekop, any comments or questions regarding the staff report? Seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried. Let's take a recess for 10 minutes to 6:45 and see if we can round up our next delegation. I'd like to ask everyone to please take their seats. We will reconvene our Council and Budget Committee and go towards our next delegation, which is the Economic Development and Tourism Corporation. And I believe we'll hear from Mr. Jim Tebear. Mr. Gorm, you're going to start?
Yes, Councillor Passero.
Very much. And a reminder to all involved, I have to leave for work at 11. I just throw that out there. You're on.
Yep.
The floor is yours, Mr. Gorm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Worship, members of council, senior staff, ladies and gentlemen, having been elected as the chair of the Fort Erie Economic Development and Tourism Corporation at our last annual general meeting in April, it's my privilege to provide you with copies of our annual report for 2016 and our work plan and budget for 2017. 2016 has been an exceedingly busy year for our EDTC, and you will see soon from the report provided by our general manager that we have successfully completed our 2016 work plan as presented to council last year. But also, we have expended more than $225,000 from our reserves on projects vitally important to our strategy, the town's corporate strategy, and in laying the long-term groundwork for prosperity of Fort Erie in the future. After many years of reporting to council on the trends in serviced industrial land, and we have moved almost every viable lot into new business or in business expansions, we are now partnered with the town to conduct a comprehensive industrial land strategy. That strategy is now in draft final report development, and after a year of effort, analysis, and forward thinking, we will have that completed report in the next few weeks. The EDTC will surrender that report to council, and then council may present it to the region as our case for growth in the municipal comprehensive review currently in process. For the past 5 years, our EDTC intelligence network, along with our own staff expertise, allowed us to pinpoint trends in our labor force and labor needs of our local companies. Not all is what it appeared on the surface to be. And on each of these occasions, we provided council and Fort Erie residents with forward-looking information that could make Fort Erie more competitive in business. We were among the very first to point out skill shortages, skills gaps, labor shortages, and the need for better public access to training and education, and promoted trades as a valuable and current career opportunity. This year, our EDTC has pulled together the major public agencies involved in employment, unemployment, apprenticeship, social resources, and businesses. We have led the way for a labor force roundtable, and together we have planned out a model for easy, accessible job training and employee sourcing. This is unique in Ontario as a local from the ground up approach, as opposed to those usually made in Toronto top down programs. And thirdly, the EDTC continues to support, promote, and facilitate where possible the advancement of the Niagara Park's Miller Creek Marina, the Canadian Motor Speedway, Fort Erie Racetrack land development, and other significant candidate projects that are destination or resort level projects. All or any of one of these projects coming to fruition will change the face of Fort Erie's tourism profile and significant job, business, public media, and economic impacts to Fort Erie and the region of Niagara. The EDTC, however, ever in the forward planning mode, is well aware that in order for benefits to ensue, Fort Erie must be proactive in capturing the full potential of economic opportunity and create synergy and benefit to Fort Erie businesses and residents. The EDTC has retained Deloitte Canada over this past year to analyze these projects and help the EDTC develop a strategy to capture those benefits. This economic preparedness study is in its final draft form and will be presented to this council in early February. Our general manager, Jim Thibert, will present our annual report, including an overview of these special projects, our efforts to report business expansion, attraction, and retention, and our 2017 budget and supplemental request. I would like to take this opportunity, if I may, to thank our staff, Jim Thibert, Carol Lee Grummet, Karen Audette, and Ricky O'Kane, for an outstanding effort in 2016, over and above the call of duty. I would like to now call upon our general manager to present the 2016 annual report and 2017 budget request. Jim.
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor and councilors. I'd be the first to say happy anniversary. I think this is, in fact, very close to your second anniversary on the job, right? So congratulations for that. You're halfway to completing your lifelong missions as a counselor. So our role in helping you do that is presented every year in terms of our annual report. The annual report, we changed the format last year, and it's been highly regarded and highly received by the business community, and we use it as a very instrumental in our marketing. It presents a really credible business case for Fort Erie, and I think it presents very, very well when they look at it and they understand it's all part of the strategy we have in Fort Erie. A couple things of interest in this year's report is the picture. I'm not certain if a lot of people have actually ever seen a picture like that before. Most people, when they tell me, look at the beautiful picture of Fort Erie, show me a picture of Buffalo. But we actually turned it around, and we had our good friend at the Peace Bridge, Ron Reines, contract for a drone that's capable of going up between the United States and Canada, and that was not easy, by the way. Had to have all sorts of security clearances and licensing, and they took some pictures for us, and all high resolution, and that's a great picture. So it's not of the lighthouse, it's not of the beach, it's not a town hall, because it's not for that purpose. We're here to impress business people and investors coming to do business in Fort Erie, and that's a pretty dynamic looking shot in Fort Erie, and certainly gives us a better perspective on business and how focused our gateway to the United States and between the United States and Canada is. So that's why we use that on the cover, and you'll note that in our annual report we have a couple other shots like that, just different perspectives on the bridge from the drone. Where are you going with that? That'd be fabulous. Thank you. It's never worked in the past, but I'm hoping it will. So we're going to try to get through this very quickly. We understood that, you know, brevity is the best part of this exercise, and then we're prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Well, that's never worked in the past either, so.
Yeah, I know. You know, I started off today thinking we were going to do it, but then I started getting memos. So we're going to try to do the very best we can. So everything that we do in the presentation, and this is our presentation, is our annual report. And I'm just going to go over some things very quickly. I don't want to pretend to be going over them too quickly, but you've seen these types of things before. This is a new picture, of course. This is our staff and board members. The only one missing is George. We couldn't get him on a couple occasions to put him into the picture. But if you look very closely, Rick Gorham's head is twisted a little bit to the left, and I'm a little bit to the right, and he was supposed to be photoshopped right over my shoulder. Didn't happen. Still couldn't get him. So just imagine him there. So you've seen the balance of this before. We leave it in there because people have never seen it want to know what it is that the EDTC does. We also have a whole component on there, and we'll remind you about our governance, and we'll remind you about what the board means. All of this is public and published, and of course it's on our website. So it's www.fortierycanada.com. It's a very intelligent site. I don't think I've gone over that site with this council. My pointer points at the screen, but none of you can see that. You know, you're not looking up there. But anyway, on the right-hand bottom corner where it says Birdie Tire, that's actually a smart site that keeps rotating. So we have in behind this all of our business listings, our addresses, and our business index. And so that rotates every time somebody comes to the site. It's intelligent. It knows you've seen the Birdie Tire one before, so it puts up another one. Then the one in the middle, we felt 2 years after we initially did that type of approach that the accommodations, or not the accommodations, but the restaurant business, food and beverage, they could use a hand. So we put one specific, the food and beverage. The track gives up-to-date information generally when we're in racing and all the background and links to that. We have another link that you can click on and get to our business districts, and then you have all the other components that rotate the pictures of Fort Erie up above, and then all the things on press, media, governance, what's been going on. So it's a great site, and we keep it up to date. So last year, we developed a whole new model on the business plan related to the 7 strategic responsibilities we have as the EDC and as a corporation, the 7th being administration. And, of course, that's to grow and retain business, grow and retain jobs, attract new investment opportunities, capacity building, promote and build Fort Erie's profile outside the community, and support developers and investors through the build process and administration. So there's about 30 pages or 26 pages that relate to the next slide. So this is the first page of those 24, 25 pages, which outlines for you what we do in business expansion, business retention, job creation. Down the middle column under foundational effort, those are things we've done in the past. Then you'll see on the right-hand side the 2016 highlights. They're examples of note, and they're just kind of one-liners. And then our work plan and what we're going to do about these things in 2017. So rather than go through all those pages, I'm often reminded of doing that in the past where Councillor Paul Fell would look at me about this point in time and say, we're not going through every one of those, are we? You know, first of all, you tell us the public doesn't know what we do, and then when we come here to tell you, you know, they didn't want to hear us, but you guys are different. So what I've done is I've just gone to a quick highlight. So this is not on your presentation. But some key things are we have the Zavcor Driver Academy. So this is, we brought in a company, happens to be a friend of mine, brought him in, built a whole place up on Eagle Street, and made that a very good going concern with some 85 to 100 trucks and probably half again as many trailer units. And then they liked that so much they expanded and bought the property on Commerce Parkway. And they started up, so the first one was Chuck King and the second one was Avcor. And then just in this past year, they swapped over, called the other companies Avcor up on Eagle Street and called Chuck King the one that's now on Commerce Parkway, or Pettit, I guess. And so there's several hundred trucks and trailers there, and there's a few hundred drivers. And the problem, of course, is skills development, and they listen to us. And they actually got into looking to develop a training program, and now they are a certified training academy for driving. And they really, they'll train anybody that wants to be trained, but it's really to farm their own capable drivers. And it is, as I mentioned in the past at this council, great opportunity for people to get their license, to get trained. You don't have to be a truck driver. You can go to school and be truck driving in the summer or do truck driving on the weekend. You can have a second job. It's a very flexible thing, driving. So it's a good opportunity for people. And they don't have to travel to like to Thorold or to Brock University or Niagara Falls or someplace for college, right? They can do it right here. Now, the Chuck King itself, this year, we worked with them to get another piece of land adjacent to the property they have, and they're working on, well, they were appointed federal designation for low-pressure natural gas station, Class C, which is for energy, which is the top level for recharge station, and they're also one of two sites in Canada that are designated for a hydrogen site. So they will be very active. I know that the first thing that will go in over the next 18 months is the low pressure and high and fast recharge stations, and that could be anywhere from $1.8 to $3.2 million investment on land that at the time we didn't think there was going to be a development there. It was going to be a parking lot for their expansion. But they've managed to use that land to better purpose, and we're doing our job in selling land and getting development. Black Creek Metals has purchased the property up on Winger and Eagle Street. They've yet to file a site plan, but we are working with them and trying to get their confidence and business levels up in order to pull that trigger. Duras Canada, they started up the Global Brake Piston R&D Center. Airbus Helicopters have done two expansions in the last 3 years, the most recent one about 15,000 square feet. Peninsula Plastics, we're working with them on some acquisitions right now. They've just concluded and they'll be expanding. We've got Barbican, we worked on an acquisition for them and they'll be expanding. Canicure has now gotten through its security certificate, which is just about the last stage before approval. And so we're expecting approval sometime in the next couple of months for that project. You might recall that that ultimately will have about 125 employees at it when it's full go. So they have to, once approved, they have to grow two crops. And if they pass muster and security and all the clearances, then they will get into the full bore of manufacturing, of distillation of the products, of marketing them, call center, shipping, the whole bit. So that's a good use for PharMedics, which was an abandoned pharmaceutical plant. Fleet Canada, we continued with them. They're doing very well, and we developed a scholarship with them this year from the share that we had, so we put that share to good use. The Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium, well, that's a lot of governance and administration. We did an archaeology study there this year and paid for it in order to move the potential sale of the 100 acres at the practice track, and we're still working on developing gaming, and our efforts there yielded another record year this year, including an all-time 120-year record for wagering on Prince of Wales Day. Now, there is the possibility, leaked by the press, that the Liberal government is looking at putting another 17 years into the contracts, and we'll see how that goes. So the Fort Erie Labor Workforce Strategy, Rick touched on that. That's a rather interesting thing. I've been before the Council of Fort Erie for 6 years talking about labor issues, shortfalls, and you know, shy of putting a poster up in every donut store telling them do not allow politicians to talk about jobs in the donut store, we had this great dichotomy, which was people would come out of the donut store and say, we need more jobs. And come back to you and say, we can't fill the job openings we have. We need people to understand that there's jobs and you need to be trained and you need to be willing to show up to work and you need to be able to dedicate your value or demonstrate your value to the employer. And you'll do quite well. And so here we are again. There's been occasion where I've been chastised saying that our workers, I call their workers lazy, but that's not what we're talking about at all. We're trying to give them heads up and some advance notice that if they want a job, there's lots of opportunities in Fort Erie, right? As it is, without special projects. So we work constantly with the CMP properties. That's the owners of the track property. And of course, they have gotten approval for $287,000 project and the gateway incentive grant that goes with it. But they won't trigger that until we get our speedway moving or something big happens. So it's one of those deals where you get one, you end up with two. So we're trying very hard to get that done. That's part of what we do in tourism is develop new tourism market, a new tourism product. GE Canada, we worked with our colleagues in Team Niagara. And as I think I mentioned before, the initial site was that 100 acres at the track. And then ultimately, when we went through the various phases, we couldn't produce, Enbridge couldn't produce the gas at the level and pressure they needed. So then they looked at what was then the second site, and it became the first in Welland. But that's one of those deals where they supported us as long as the site was capable. When it wasn't, we support them, and it's good. We'll have people from Fort Erie working in that plant. Greenstone Structural Solutions, of course, we brought them in to buy industrial land. They bought 5 acres, Commerce Parkway. And they're so gung-ho, they wanted to lease some property from another property, DMI, which we sold to Clark Machine, CMI Heavy Industries. And so they have a building there that they didn't need for a couple of years, and we helped them broker a relationship. And so Greenstone will set up, they're setting up now, get their equipment in, get their marketplace going, and then they'll start building in 2 years on the site that we have at Commerce Parkway. Team Niagara, we're looking at committing the foreign trade zone to Fort Erie. We've got the economic preparedness strategy. This is rough draft of that study that should be coming forward. I think we're booked in the 13th of February. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking of clerk. Yeah. There you are. Laura. 13th of February, right? 6 o'clock? Yeah. So we believe we're booked in to council first up, 6:15 or whatever it is. We're bringing Deloitte in, and that's the date that we had booked in. So mark it in your calendars. That'll be an interesting... That will be an interesting read. We helped out the town with the Niagara Region Waterfront investment in Bay Beach. We helped out the region with the Niagara Cost Competitiveness Study. Deal with the Niagara Gateway Economic Zone, working on behalf of the town and helping them out with the County Fair Mall property and development of that, and a bunch of other things. So, we can get through this pretty quickly. I guess we could tell you also that the Gazette was produced this year, 16 pages in the newspaper, all good news articles about Fort Erie. That was very well received, and we get a call for it all the time. We give it to new residents, new businesses, and we carry it with us when we go. It's a good showcase for Fort Erie. And the CTOD signs that we designed and put up on Highway 3 pointing the way to Crystal Beach and Ridgeway, we're replacing those this year. So we'll be talking to the BIAs to see if they want to change the design or anything like that, but we will be talking to them. And then the Fort Erie Visitor's Guide, well, we put out, 85,000 copies of that? And it's distributed in Pennsylvania, all of Western New York, up through Rochester, all of Southern Ontario, Toronto, and every Ontario visitor center. It's interesting. It's at one time it cost us $20,000 to produce 16,000 copies, and it cost us, I think, someplace close to $20,000 to distribute it. Now we get it down to about $4,000 to produce, and it costs us $44,000 to distribute it, but we're moving 85,000 copies. So it's out there, and it's a very well-used product. It's got a lot of turnover in it. So we can skip a few more pages, get to our tourism strategy. So you've seen it before. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it unless you want to. One thing is different on the next slide. And this is the strategy where we talk about, we spend the bulk of our time trying to get projects off the ground that will raise the tide for everybody. In turn, for getting those three projects, any one or all three of them, that's going to increase all the employment and business opportunities for everybody else that are feeder agencies. And so they'll be very happy. And what I think you're going to find in the Deloitte EDC study is going to be very interesting on whether we can handle these things and whether we're prepared for them. My track record of trying to alert people at council, it hasn't been, you know, I'm not batting 200. I can tell you that right now. I'm kind of disappointed in that, right? Talk about employment, unemployment opportunities. I'm sure that some people listening to this on the radio will call me tomorrow, because they usually do. I got a niece, I got a nephew, I got somebody. But I would expect a wholesale request from people thinking about how to change how they look at getting a job, right? But in the meantime, we have added one more line, and that's new major product development. I think this council's aware that we have another project in the works, and we don't want to talk about it yet, but it is there. We've now spent some 16 months on it, and we're getting very close to the parties making some investments. So I think this is the year that you'll see that project. And, of course, when it comes to the Miller Creek Marina project, Niagara Parks is engaged in a non-RFP RFP. Okay? So we think that they mean well, but we think they're just a bit confused in how to go about doing this, right? It really is simply a design, build, lease, operate contract. There's lots of them. There's agencies out there in the government that do it. I've done it many times, and we're trying to give them some guidance on how to do it simply and effectively. But we have to have this shared vision what it is you're after. And we're thinking that may be where the conflict lies. Is do we all share the same vision of a $200 or $300 million development on the river, right? We're going to find out, because I'm going to meet there tomorrow. And so for 2017, that's developed. Kind of looks in format like last year, but the words are different, because this is the operationalizing the tourism strategy for 2017. So those are the things that we are doing in tourism. So on special projects, Fort Erie Economic Development Preparedness Study, where we've retained Deloitte at a cost of $115,000. Deloitte will be presenting to council on the 13th an executive summary of the study, and then we'll get you a copy of the detailed study. The detailed study is very interesting, because the way we've structured it is in order to address the issues. So I don't want to give away premise here, but I'll give you three peaks. That at peak capacity, these projects could bring in the equivalent to double the current population in Fort Erie. I no sooner walked into this council hall and somebody asked me, do you think that CMS is ever going to go? Well, you're asking the wrong guy. It's not for me to say it's not going. Our job is to make it happen. So we're never going to give up on this. And we have all sorts of strategies, and have put strategies into place. The current guys are really the third clients we've had on this. We had two sets of clients when we were looking at putting the Speedway on the ICC property before the government so soundly took 450 acres away as wetlands. Scared them all off. So our current clients, They've stuck it out to the OMB. They've stuck it out for 8 years, and we're prepared to work with them and help them get this over the hump. But projects like that are going to have so much impact on Fort Erie that they can double our population. So if we think we have record housing starts now, we got to think about how we're going to handle something much, much bigger, right? Together, the CMS and the Miller Creek Marina have an annual GDP impact of over $65 million. And between that and $230 million, depending on the scope of the projects, between 1,260 jobs and 4,700 jobs. So there's going to be lots of impact for the region as well. And the greatest opportunities are going to come from the operational side, not necessarily the construction side. We don't necessarily have the number and the scope of contractors that can put this together. So what we would have to do is we have a work plan that says, here's how we can talk to the folks that we do have. Here's how we can try to engage them. They're going to have to make a decision when time comes for contracts to either do that or the existing work they do. Our big problem with these big projects is because it takes so many jobs and because we have to attract so many people, we have a host of small businesses in Fort Erie. Literally, they're all small because they're under 500 employees. But most of the businesses, some 80% of them, are less than 10 employees. It doesn't take much to steal a good manager or two from a firm. It doesn't take much to take out all your welders in order to do this project. And so what we don't want to do is to have a situation where by trying to build Fort Erie, we destroy what we have. We put them into the problem. They've got nice employees, they're happy, they're treated well, they're paid well, and then all of a sudden they're attracted out. So we have to be very careful. So I'm talking about it now so that the public is aware that we're thinking about that, that we're conscious of it. All the moves that we make are to improve the situation in Fort Erie, not make it worse. One of those things where you got to be careful what you ask for. We're being careful, very careful. The other special project that we did this year is the Industrial Land Development Strategy. You're all aware of that. We've been working with all of the senior staff and departments in the town of Fort Erie. We are now at the stage where we have all the data that we need. The consultant has exercised it all onto spreadsheets so we can compare it, and we can't be criticized for not looking at all the sites within the urban service boundary. But ultimately, we have to make some decisions about the amount of land that we need, looking beyond the urban service boundary, and then looking at what it's going to cost and the timing of how to service what's in the urban service boundary, and more importantly, the land that's outside. But we do need somewhere around 500 acres of land to take us into 2026 time. You run out of land, I don't know what you do. I've only been, you know, kind of pointing this out for 15 years. I'm feeling pretty good about it. We're all, this council has a very clear understanding of what that is now. They're very supportive of us completing the document and going to the region and fighting for our fair share. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing this council's done. So just for my good friend and colleague, Kelly Walsh, I put his data up on the slide because he went through so much effort to get it done for us. So we put an example of it up on the slide. It's exhaustive, the work that's gone into this by everybody. So we're looking forward to getting that report done, and we got to have it done before February, into council, approved by council, and then council sends it over to the region. So the labor workforce strategy is another thing that we just chatted briefly about. But, you know, it's one thing to identify a problem, it's another thing to do something about it. So this little graphic that we have has never been done before, and this is a result of, I don't know, 16 or 18 hours worth of sessions with a lot of good people that are involved in employment, unemployment, private sector employment, advice, and things like that. And so quite simply, so you know what we've done is we've spent $5,000 or $6,000 in total, and we tried to isolate it down to a little kind of flow chart If you're unemployed, how do we categorize that? If you're looking as an employer for an employee, how do we categorize what you're looking for? And so these are called conditions. And literally the goal is to identify all of the conditions that we can, that if you were unemployed for some reason, you should be able to find yourself on this graphic. You should be able to say, oh, here I am. I got social problems. I'm not very good in literacy. Or I'm over here under this one. I don't have a job, but I'm skilled. But I don't have any education. I have a skill. What could I do about that? So we've put that together. That's the first time that's ever been put together. Now the trick is we have to map that, as I call it. I think that's pretty typical for an economist, but not a lot of people in this group were grasping that. So we mapped this to the available services and programs. So literally we would put a little flowchart line from this one. If you have no retention skills and you have a job, but you're just making enough money, and so where do you go from here? Well, you should find a little flowchart line, and it would bring you to a series of programs that are out there. Here's what you should do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, there's a lot of those, and they're complex. And we need people with the expertise and the mandate to do this to say, this is my program, and it fits here. So not being able to get them to do that, they're busy doing their own jobs. We looked at, we're prepared to finalize our report and then look to the government to give us a grant. So we're going to make an application for a grant. That's our goal. Whether we get a grant or not is the government's problem. We've achieved our goal. We've done this. We got the grant. And if somebody's truly interested, because they're forming blue ribbon panels all over this province, but if somebody's truly interested in this, they'll invest $100,000. We'll take over. We'll hire somebody that has those skill sets that can go one-on-one with all the agencies, can look in the compendium of grants and subsidies, and can plot all this out. And then from there, it can be turned into a template for access online. Once that's done, then the province benefits from it because they can apply it to any other municipality, and the region can take it. So the region can do it for the region. Houghton could do it for themselves. It's not a top-down approach. It's a bottom-up approach, and it makes a lot more sense, and it makes it a lot simpler. At that point in time, if you can't find a reason for a job, we suspect you don't want one. Some of the other things we do outside the municipality is develop our colleague network, and so we have the Niagara Development Corridor Partnership, and we also have Team Niagara. Team Niagara includes not only the economic development officers that have full-time offices, but some of the municipalities that don't, and all of the CAOs plus the college and university. So at any given time, we have a lot of access to a lot of resources, and our team on the Niagara Development Corridor has been around now since 2006, and we've engaged in a lot of good projects, including helping the region to get settled into their new format of economic development when we had Harry there and Bob Sagan. So now our colleague is right there, the second from the left. That's David Oakes. And as we go through the group, we work, we meet regularly. We've sponsored our GTHA Realtors tours every year. That's given us some great leads with businesses in Toronto that are looking for homes, and we've now exposed them to Niagara, so that's working out well. And we do foreign investment, and we also sponsor foreign trade zone. And as it stands right now, I think I got at least 5 out of 6 votes to put the FTZ right here in Fort Erie. So that'll be another office and another focal point for international trade, and reinforce that picture and that dynamic, right? So, can't go too far without talking about the Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium and the racetrack. That consumes a horrendous amount of time. And we do put money into it every year for leveraging the Ontario Tourism Marketing Program. And I'm proud to say that we've exceeded $3 million now in the dollars that we've brought into marketing about Fort Erie because of that. So, when they see the Fort Erie track. They think of Fort Erie, right? We make sure Fort Erie's in everything. It's branding. We always give you a little page of facts and graphs. This year we've put it into our final report in more of a character way. We have some goods and some bads. The dollar is, for your information, the dollar is at 36.02 cents. So that's what it's going to cost you for U.S. dollar. If it's over 18 cents, a lot of people in the tourism business are happy, but what you'll find is your kids aren't sticking around. You know, when we were going through the years 2008 through 2012, when we were pretty much at par, your kids could stick around and earn a living here, and they could get an education. But now when they get an education, they won't stick around. They will be drawn to the U.S., and they will make, at minimum, the same amount that they're making in Canada, but in U.S. dollars. So if they're making $100,000 here, they'll make $100,000 U.S., and there's a 40% increase, right? Just like that. And so there's always been brain drain when the valuation on the Canadian dollar goes too high. And it's been high for a while now. So we're going to see a lot of brain drain. This is the time when we lost nurses, the first go around that this happened. We lost a lot of nurses. We lost a lot of specialists for doctors. So we're already in bad shape, but they'll be driven to regions that will spend so much money attracting them, it's ridiculous. On top of that, our prices of electricity are horrendous, and not exactly certain yet. We haven't been able to touch base with our companies, but this town takes special pride in the fact that they didn't use Ontario Hydro. We had our own power generating, and so we didn't incur the debt for Ontario Hydro. And while the government of the day insisted that everybody pays for Ontario Hydro's debt charges, Fort Erie went to court, fought it, and won. So maybe people made, you know, saved $100 a year on their household insurance, $125. But some of our companies were saving $10,000, $12,000 a month. So when the province and the premier decided that they were going to abandon the Ontario Hydro debt charge and roll it in, That competitiveness is now gone. Our companies are now paying more money for electricity, right? So I don't know how that's panning out. I haven't had a chance yet this year to talk to our companies, but they've had two bills in now. The first bill's in now, right? So we'll see what happens in the next month or so. So the interest rate issue, still nice and solid, very low. Good reasons to build, good reasons to put infrastructure up. Traffic's up, Peace Bridge traffic's up, all sorts of good stuff, so you can read that at your leisure. Next slide, you've seen before, our continuum of service, those little balloons, we've explained it, and we have a role to play in development. We work with the municipality and other agencies, and they have their balloons. In the case of the town, there would be lots of balloons, but we just highlighted those aspects that are related to development that we're involved with. For your edification, we put in the feedback highlights from the 2016 annual roundtables, and we did a tourism one for the first time in 5 years, and so they fed back a lot of interesting things. People are interested in the fact that they're still driving a need for a sign on the highway that says, welcome, this is it, this is Fort Erie. The other thing is that they need some directional signage. So we'll leave that with you, and it's in our annual report. And then we get to the nice stuff, the budget. So budget's pretty self-explanatory. I'll go over it again, though, in the sense of we changed the report format last year. So in order to allow you to compare one year to another, we didn't change the numbers in those categories. So even though the categories are now 6 plus administration, we just kind of rolled the same numbers in there. So we do spend more money in promotion. Doesn't matter. Ultimately, the bottom line is never exceeded. So it looks like $42,000 there for for promoting Bill Fortier's profile. I know the mayor brought that up earlier. Issue on that is that we spent $87,000, but we know how we do that. We know there's $30,000 going into the Fortier Racetrack OTMP program, for instance. But we would rather keep the document as close to possible so that you can compare one year to another than to completely revamp it. And I wanted to revamp it. It's not that we don't think you couldn't figure it out. The first discussion was with our bookkeeper, who said, "You must be crazy." So I called in our auditor, and I told our auditor what we wanted to do, and he said, "Well, you must be crazy, because we'll have to change the entire auditing format now, and you'll never be able to compare one, this budget, to anything preceding 2015. So we kept those numbers there like that. So ultimately, they're all reconciled financial management report that we can give you, or they are reconciled by the audit. So this year, we followed suit with the guideline by the council, and we're respectfully requesting $657,158, which is 1.5% of administration. So those are trying to keep up with cost of living on costs that are fixed or labor and things like that. And then secondly, we have some special projects this year, special requests. It's not usual for us, but we do. So this year we jumped into the fray for the tune of about $225,000. And that was from reserves and from some program dollars. And ultimately, the expenses are there. And you can see what we spent the money on. And so we could do the industrial land study or the peer review that led to it. We can do the economic preparedness study, but we've got to have resources. And the question is always, well, why don't you just come to council and ask us? So, you know, with all due deference and respect, if you were on this side of the table bringing something to council, it's impossible to move as fast as the board of directors can. I can call every one of them and have a resolution passed within an hour. And so we've done that, and it's to the advantage of Fortier to do it. We need to get scheduled. We need to present reports. There's staff reports. There's all sorts of things to do. And all the accountability is there. It's just that it takes up a whole lot more time and effort. So it's easier sometimes for us to do things that we're going to do on behalf of a corporation if we have the resources for it. And you probably wonder where that money came from. Where did you get those reserves? Well, we're scrupulous. The board doesn't let me spend any money. We sometimes get HST rebates. And there was a time when we dragged $3 million into this town to do the track and to do the Ramp 1A. Well, when you got $3 million in 2008 sitting in your bank account earning 6% interest, there's a hell of a lot of money coming in there, right? So that's where that money came from. Alas, simply, we spent it all. We spent more than we had, so we don't have those anymore. Our reserves are, we have $150,000, what we refer to as emergency marketing. That is, if there's something so disastrous happens in Fort Erie, whether a major project pulls out or something happens, that we would need that money. It's possible we may need that plus a lot more money in order to create a management strategy if we do go ahead or when we do go ahead with one or two projects. So that's some money that's sitting there that will be used sometime for a good purpose for Fort Erie, just like everything else. We have a corporation to run, and so we have, in the wisdom of the board, we need to have a reserve that we refer to as our corporate responsibility money. So it's literally supposed to be 10% of what our budget is. It's been $60,000 for a few years. This year we would probably move it to $65,700. And that's because we're a not-for-profit agency. So the first thing that happens is if we don't have the money, we can't commit the money and we can't spend it. So, for instance, I just got told when we walked in here, we got our first check of the new year, our first quarterly check from our treasurer in record-setting time. But you also got to know that you have, as council, advanced the budget process by, what, 2.5 months? Like, you're dealing with this in January instead of, like, April. So it's, if we don't have the money for the first quarter, where does it come from, right? If we spent it, where does the rest of it come from? It's, we're not supposed to be going bankrupt, technically or otherwise. So we need to have dollars there to cover that, cover some potential over expenses or cash flow issues that happen from time to time. So you need to do those types of things, right? So those are our reserves. They're fairly light. And the unrestricted reserves, we spend them all. Right there. And that's it. Oh, might want to tell you one more thing.
It's always the one more thing that gets you.
Two more things. One thing you didn't notice on the front cover is that we have Canada 150. So we made that application last year, and we're eligible to use that. So we put the Canada 150. I'm suspecting that may be the first time you've seen that on a Fortery document. The second thing is, the last page tells you 25 years. 2017 is 25 years of doing business for the EDC. And the mayor will recall that because he was leading the brigade in 1992. Tells me very fond stories about doing that. So that's it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Jim. Comments or questions from members of council? Mayor Redekamp.
First comment is, it turns out I created a monster.
That's true. You knew that coming in.
No, no.
How long was that?
I wanted to say that was about 48 minutes or
really?
A little bit longer. But I must say, and I do have a question eventually coming, that's probably the most concise, informative presentation that I've experienced from the EDTC, and I actually enjoyed it.
Really?
On many occasions.
15 years of practice.
and I think it was important. You're quite right. When you come here, you have an opportunity not only to speak to council, but you're speaking to the community. And I think it was very helpful because I believe that the Bay Beach application in which the EDTC took the lead was very instrumental in assisting the council to get $850,000 from the region. The preparedness study and the industrial land strategy are two pieces of work that are absolutely fundamental for the future prosperity of this community. And I can tell you that wherever we go, and Councillors Nutt and Passero can confirm that when we provide background information to the provincial politicians or any politicians, and we advise them of some of the strategies that we are developing or have developed in Fort Erie, they are extremely impressed. And I can tell you without fear of contradiction that this municipality is developing strategies not only through the EDTC but through our staff and council that put us at a completely different level than most of the other municipalities in Niagara. So the comments that you made about those three studies as well as the labor workforce strategy, I think are very helpful for answering the question that people sometimes ask, what does the EDTC do? Those are just four particularly important highlights. And the EDTC, along with the town staff, in my view, are doing a very, very important job in helping the town of Fort Erie to prosper and capture the opportunities that will arise in the future. I'm certainly accepting the philosophy behind the work that you do and the operating budget. My questions relate really just to the reserves, and you've highlighted that there are two reserve funds that by board policy the EDTC should have. One is the emerging marketing fund of $150,000, the operating cash flow reserve, which should be around $65,000, which totals $215,000. My question is, Are those not adequate reserves for the emergency type of concern that you raised? I certainly appreciate your comment that the EDTC can act much more quickly if it has funds in its possession, and you have in fact done that in the past, as opposed to having to come to council at a meeting, go through a report, et cetera. But in terms of actual emergency, is 215 an adequate fund of money for you to at least deal with initial issues that might arise?
Well, when we dealt with it, the board thought that, well, so let's talk about what a board restricted policy is. I can't touch it. It's as simple as that. This has to go to the full board, full presentation, and they think that that fund would be used under a circumstance that is so valuable to the town that we probably won't have time. It will never happen in a good occasion. It's not going to happen like 2nd of February, you know, and you got lots of money because you just approved the budget. It's going to happen at your worst possible time if you're on summer vacation breaks and it's 4 weeks between, you know, meetings and things like that. It never happens at a good time. It's just like our little flood over there. It didn't happen at a good time. It happened right before Christmas. You know, it could have happened in the summertime. We would have all took showers, called everybody to our pool. But, it doesn't happen that way. So that's why they think that this town should be prepared. Let's put away some money that when the time comes, we can move on it as, you know, and respond lightning fast. So if we do that, then we don't have anything to do special projects during the year. We don't have anything to do little $10,000 project. There's not the resources to do, we did an environmental assessment on MetCor, and finally we got that money back. It took 10 years to do that, but we sold MetCor. You know, that EA was, that environmental assessment was a big part of that, attracting them. So we ended up getting that back because we struck a contract. We can't give business money, but we loaned them the money. We did it because neither the landlord nor the proponent wanted to go near it. We did the archaeology study through the town. We paid for it through the town to do the 100 acres because we just, when we get a lead, we can't come up with excuses why somebody can't make an offer on it. We're saying that property's shovel ready. So we need some money to do some special projects. We can draw it out of our operating budget sometimes, but again, if it's not at a convenient time, we've already committed those dollars. So then we don't have them.
If I might, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I appreciate that. My recollection is that there, and you've given a couple of examples, my recollection is that you were able to approach the board and get board approval for those two specific items that you made reference to.
That amount of reserves. I still have to ask for anything over $2,500 from the board.
Regardless.
So, regardless.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the final question, I note that you've also requested money for the updating of the Y40 magazine, and that's something that your material would indicate does require upgrading.
It's dated now. It's very well dated, and the Tourism Roundtable loves it. They are the biggest users of it, and they're the ones saying it's time to update it, and I agree with them. It's over 5 years old now.
And it's a marketing tool specifically for economic development purposes.
Very high-class, glossy marketing tool, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Further comments or questions? Councillor Nutt and then Councillor Lubberts.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Mr. Tiber, I'd like to thank you and the whole EDTC team for coming forward and presenting this. Just to echo the mayor's comments, when at AMO this past summer, with the material that you had supplied and the material from the town staff, there were very nice compliments given about the information, the way it was presented. I have to tell you that as I travel all over Southwest Ontario and I have the guides with me, if somebody asks, where are you from, Fort Erie, I have been giving them the guides. So they've been getting distributed from Front Street to Windsor. And it's easy to hand someone the annual report because not only does it speak to Fort Erie from what's available from a tourism, but it also speaks to what's available on the job market. So I just want to commend you for the presentation that you put together here. There's one thing that I do want to point out. Last year when you came here, you did have quite, I don't want to call it a robust reserve, but I just want to thank you and the EDTC team personally for listening to council, following our direction, going in and utilizing those funds for the special projects and things that you did. I think that you guys have put up a stellar year and that Fort Erie over the next 2 years will reap great benefits from it. So thank you for heeding council's request and taking on those projects.
Thank you, Councilor Nutt. Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. In the special projects, I see here it says NPC Miller Creek Marina RFP advertising. I'm just wondering, why is it that the EDTC would advertise for the Niagara Parks Commission? Why are you paying for the advertising?
Well, the goal of both the town and the region was to form a kind of a project management committee. And so the mayor and myself, the regional chair and my regional counterpart, along with Janice Thompson and David Adames, are part of this tripartite committee to move this project along and to move it in a direction that we all agree is the scope of the project. So when they want to go out and advertise for another round of requests for proposals, we offered up $10,000 from the town and $10,000 to the region. This is not money that's in lieu of their money. This is to get that broadcast RFP out further than they would be prepared to go.
Councilor Luberts?
Yes, okay, thank you very much. And the PGH Canada Mackenzie Tour, a sponsorship. I'm just wondering, I'm looking and I'm trying to see where it is in the mandate that the EDTC sponsors sporting events. I know that they're here to promote Fort Erie and to promote tourism and stuff, but sponsoring sporting events, how does that fall into the mandate?
Well, that would come under tourism, number one. Number two, we're trying to help out Fort McMurray. So this golf course, the golf course that was supposed to host it is in Fort McMurray, and the golf course burned down. And so the PGA of Canada, those of like Niagara, and they wanted to know if Cherry Hill could host it. So Cherry Hill is in Fort Erie, of course, and we sponsored it. So when we talk about sponsorship, it was an initial $10,000 just to be able to match up with the Niagara Sports Commission's money so they know that in earnest we're moving forward. So between the two of us, we had $20,000 invested in this, probably in the range of $400,000 or $500,000 event. It puts all those investments that Cherry Hill made over the last 5 years in their golf course to get it back up in the top 100 right in the forefront. It puts exposure to 164 golfers who come internationally. That tour attracts all the people that want to get up onto the PGA, and they were coming from some 26 or 27 jurisdictions, not just from Canada. Most of them were coming in from Florida. In fact, the winner was from Florida. We had people come in from Germany. We had people come in from Spain. They come from all over the world because they want to golf. It's an international sport. It's probably the top sport out there right now for public awareness. I mean, a lot of people know football. There's a lot of people know baseball, but everybody knows golf.
Councilor Luberts.
That's why we did it.
Yes, I understand what you're saying there. What you're saying, from what I'm gathering here, is that this project or this event to put that on in Fort Erie would promote Fort Erie.
Yes.
Right, and for the mandate of the EDTC is to promote Fort Erie, and those are the benefits that came with it. So promoting Fort Erie and promoting Cherry Hill Golf Course to have this event would be the mandate of the EDTC. But then the EDTC was outside the mandate and sponsors it. That's the question I was asking. I know the promoting part of it and promoting Fort Erie, but is it in the mandate of the EDTC to be sponsoring sporting events?
Well, I guess, you know, I see you're hung up on sponsorship. It's a cause and effect. For $10,000, we caused it to happen. For the lack of $10,000, it may never have happened. So it was a risk the board was prepared to take. And on top of that, of the 164 golfers, I don't believe there was more than one from this area in the tournament. That meant they all had to stay for 4 or 5 days in hotels. They had many of them bring caddies. Many of them have coaches. They all got to stay someplace. Hotels were full. They got to eat someplace. They eat in restaurants. So there was a lot of economic spin-off from that, as well as the notoriety. And then if you watch the Golf Channel or TSN, it was Fort Erie blasted all over the place for 4 days.
Okay, thank you very much. And just another one. In the budget, we received an email. And I guess it would be line 946. The Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium for $4,500. And the EDTC, I see that you're giving the Fort Erie Live Racing $4,500, and that's an expense of the EDTC. And I'm just wondering, why is it that there would be an expense to the Live Racing Consortium, right? And there wouldn't be those types of donations to other industries? Or those types of expenses
for the
other industries?
The majority on the board of the FELRC is the Economic Development Corporation. So the vice chairman of the FELRC is chairman of the EDTC. We have vice chair of the EDC is on that board. I'm on that board as secretary, and I'm also, by constitution, the CEO of it. So we more or less control the Fort Erie racetrack in the consortium is going to benefit Fort Erie. So sometimes there's costs that we have to put into it.
266 year to date.
Well, that's not true either. We spent $266? Oh, that was an ad. That was an ad for probably the Prince of Wales. Actually, we spent $30,266 on the track. We spent $30,000 in the OTMP, the Ontario Tourism Marketing Program. So we take that $30,000, and over the years, we've levered it up to over $3 million to promote Fort Erie. Pretty good money, pretty good bang for the buck.
Councilor Liberts?
Okay, thank you very much. And the OTMP, going back to that there, just on this year chart here, just for clarification, it's 126,273, and that was expenses. And then on other EDTC costs, it's in there again. I'm just wondering, can you clarify why it's on other EDTC costs, and then in here it's
uncertain where you're looking. So one of them would be revenue. We bring in the total cost less our $30,000, then we contribute our $30,000. Then it all goes back out again. So it's completely in and out. The only thing it costs the EDC is $30,000. But we manage the OTMP grant. We always have, and that's the way the government wants it. So even though it's for the Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium, we are the grant administrators.
Okay, and now just your special projects, and then you're asking for $100,000 to replenish your reserves and another $150,000 for the Why Fort Erie magazine.
Sorry about that, Councillor. No, we're asking for $50,000 to do Why Fort Erie.
Yes.
We're asking for 50% of what we spent as reimbursement to reserve. So that's $100,000.
That's what I said.
I think you said $150,000 for the Why Fort Erie.
No, $50,000 for Why Fort Erie and $100,000 for your special project.
$50,000 for Why Fort Erie.
Yes. And $100,000, I see here, special, total special projects request, $100,000.
In total, it's $150,000.
Yes.
Put it that way. Okay, yep, we agree.
$50,000 for Y Fort Erie Magazine.
Yes.
Yes. But in the Y Fort Erie Magazine, I'm looking here, and it said that that was launched in 2009. And the total cost was $85,000. And who paid that expense in 2009?
We had a special project. We had a special project from that council. I think you were on that council, weren't you?
2009, no.
Oh, okay.
2010, I started here.
Years?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you were on that council.
No.
No?
2010, I was elected first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2009.
Oh, yeah, this is 2 years into your second term. Sorry.
I know you've been looking at me for 10 years now. But
yeah.
It's only been six.
No, we got a special project from the council of the day.
And the council of the day paid that? And the $100,000 that you're requesting, we don't know where we're actually going to be spending that. You just want that.
You know exactly where you're spending it. You're spending it on us. You're putting it back on the reserves so we can spend it in the future on very wise and considerate and timely things. Just like we have with the $224,000.
Yes, but nothing specific. You don't know where you're going to be spending it. You're just asking for the money so that you can put it into a reserve, and if you need it, you need it. If you don't need it, you won't spend it.
That's right.
Okay.
Anything?
That's all for now.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. Further comments, questions? Councillor McDermott.
Thank you. A couple of things. I think this has probably been one of the most effective years that the EDTC has had. And just by the sheer number of reports and success from these reports, and especially the one for Bay Beach, because that had to be put together very quickly, and it had to be effective enough to get $850,000 from the region. And I don't know if we could have got that, if we had to do that out of here right away, which I don't think we really had the time to do. But it's very important that we obtain that money. And we've had all these reports, and it's been a beehive of activity. And I would say we're really getting full value for our buck, because everybody in your office needs to be working every minute that I'm there. I do have just one question with regards to the labor workforce strategy. At this time, there's not really a program sponsored by the province with regards to this, correct?
No. Sean Conway's been brought back in to look at the whole issue. And I know that we have people that have connected with them and let them know about this. But until we have our final report, we can't really, you know, issue it to them. But it's one of those deals where after we're dealing with it for 7 years, talking about it, getting information, networking, doing everything we can from a Fort Erie level. I mean, by far over and above what any other municipality's done. We're kind of at the end of our rope unless somebody at the senior levels of government see the value and decide to fund us or take the project on. They can take the project on. The problem is when they take the project on, they'll start to deal with it on a grander basis, and we won't have it in time or relevant to specifically Fort Erie. So I'd like to continue to build it from the ground up so we have our own model, and then they can copy that model all they want. Take it free. You pay it $100,000 or whatever it is for a grant. Take it and run with it.
The way I look at it, in this community anyway, we have a lot of undertrained people, the ones that are, you're absolutely correct. A lot of them are undertrained or don't know of training or haven't been advised of this. To me, this is probably one of the key strategies that we should be involved in. So I guess my question would be, when we have the opportunities to have political leaders here or ministers, don't you think it's probably incumbent on us to, you know, bring up the strategy in general to these people so that we know that we can explain to them that this would be a great plan for underserviced employment community?
Probably be a good idea. I mean, I think now that the cat's out of the bag. They're all talking about skills shortages, skills development, all sorts of stuff, but I don't think they have a clue what to do with it. So we're just that many steps ahead, and we're happy to share that.
Well, I'll agree with the mayor that we're ahead of the curve in many, many areas. So this is one area where we are, and I think our town staff is doing quite well as well because of the fact that we have many secondary plans that are being done right now, and I understand there's some communities that don't have any. So it's been a very interesting term for me up to this point because I've been involved in all these areas with regards to planning and economic development. And I have seen, really, I know that some of the complaints about the EDTC over the years, I have not seen that in my 2 years as of yet. I've seen nothing but cooperation between the town council and the EDTC. And like I say, you have an excellent staff. And when you do decide to retire, and I'm not suggesting that you should, but when you do decide to retire, I do see some real benefit in the folks that you have there to take over for you in the future.
I thought it was tonight. That's why there were so many people.
We're working on that.
And by the way, they had Chinese.
You guys had Chinese? We had M&J's.
Thank you, Councilor McDermott. Councilor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I definitely agree with my colleagues. I've had the pleasure of watching you in action for many years now. So tonight, obviously, I'm impressed, but I have been impressed for many, many years now. So I do thank you for the information. I'm also very, very happy to see the cover of this. As we all know, Fort Erie being one of the most sought-after commercial border crossings in North America, this is the first time I've seen a picture like this, and I'm glad you're able to capture that, so thank you very much. And just another comment, oftentimes my constituents will ask me, so what's happening in Fort Erie, what's positive in Fort Erie, do we have any major things on the burner? And I just want to point out that on your summary of projects and economic impacts, you've listed three of the major projects. But we also know you're working on some other major projects that you can't disclose. So I just wanted to point out that, and I'm sure, I'm hopeful that you'll agree, Fort Erie has many, many major things going on. And 2017, 18, 19, I think look very, very positive.
Thank you, Councilor Zanko.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, what's an interesting thing that when we talk to senior government about what we've managed to put together as a community, the first response to big projects like that is, why Fort Erie? You know, why not? The hell's the matter with you? You know, we're in Ontario. If not, let us know. We'll be a sovereign country, make you king, no problem. But, we're part of Ontario. Why not Fort Erie, right? Why is it not possible to have it here? We have the land. We have infrastructure for the most part. We have the access to the border. We have better market location here than they do in Toronto when you look at the United States. So we have all sorts of good reasons why people want to invest in this area. And there's just too much red tape at a lot of the senior government levels. We got to shake that off and capture these jobs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Councillor Butler or Councillor Knapp, before I go back to Councillor Lubberts. No? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chief, just to clarify, in the actuals that were received but from the email, under the Fort Erie Industrial Land Strategy, it's marked at $45,000. But in the book here, the Industrial Land Strategy was earmarked at $60,000. Was that just, is there something different between the two?
Some of it was paid from last year's money. We're not trying to claim expenses from 2 years ago back to now. We will have spent, probably when this is all said and done, about $75,000. But we did take some out of program dollars. They didn't come out of reserves, so we didn't put it in there that way. But you're right. There's about 60,000 committed to it now. The only reason it says 40 is because we're not double counting.
All right, thank you very much. And Mr. Chair, if I may, I'd just like to direct a question to Mr. Cookett. The town of Fort Erie, if I'm correct, did we not do an industrial land strategy? Did we not get a report from another consultant?
Mr. Cookett?
Through you, Chair, to the Councilor. Yes, we did. The town initiated an industrial land strategy as well, which was peer-reviewed by the EDTC. There was some discussion about the results of that industrial land strategy. Different approach taken, so it was the EDTC that decided to take on their own industrial land strategy, and we've been working with them on that new one.
Yep.
Just to be more accurate, to assist, and with all due respect to the CAO, there was an initial start to an industrial land strategy that was probably authorized by the previous, well, maybe it wasn't authorized by the previous council. It may have been a staff direction. And so, well, when we took office, that's when the initial draft came in. It was peer-reviewed by the EDTC through a consultant, and on the basis of the comments that came out of that peer review, it was determined that the industrial land strategy really ought to be a task that the EDTC should take on. They had revenues in reserve, and that may have been one of the comments that Councillor Nutt was making reference to when mentioned on this. So they took it over because they're the body responsible for economic development. Industrial land strategy relates to economic development. They had the resources and they took it on, and their consultant is in the process of finalizing that report. And the draft has been circulated, has it not? Did Councillor see a draft? That's what we're going to be getting, is the draft. Yeah, okay. So that's how that all came about.
Okay, thank you very much. And that was a very good explanation. But so I guess the question would be then, well, why is it that if the report was peer-reviewed and then it was the decision to that should be a task of the EDTC, why wasn't the cost discussed at that time? Because it looks like now what we're being asked to do is pay for that.
Well, what it looks
and
to me like
wouldn't
is
we have, wouldn't that suggestion have come at that time that, well, okay, we're going to take on the task, but the town of Fort Erie is going to be responsible for at least half of the cost. But now we're being burdened with or being asked to pay for half that cost.
Which we don't have to approve.
Right, exactly.
We'll deliberate that on the 25th.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Luberts. Seeing nothing further, I just want to highlight a comment that Councillor Nutt made, that when we were in AMO, armed with the information from our staff and also the EDTC, we always tried to impress upon the ministers that were here with Made in Fort Erie Solutions, and many of those came out of your offices. And we also stressed the point that we're not here for handouts, we're here looking for partnerships and partners. And I mention that because as we were going to go in and see Minister McMahon, I'd mentioned that synopsis to a gentleman who was going in before us as a delegation. And I said, where are you from? He told me, I won't say where. And I said, here's what we're here for. What are you here for? Well, we'd like to get $17 million for a canoe museum. And I said, well, good luck with that. So we have definitely put our best foot forward in these meetings. We're definitely working hard, and we just need a little bit of assistance from the levels above us to make it all happen. So having said that, thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you to everybody who's joined us for your time tonight. And we'll move in next. Thank you, Jim. You're welcome to have a seat. We'll move the reports. If I could have a counselor move that, Counselor Zanko, for report CBC 05-2017 to defer this to our budget deliberations of the general levy. All those in favor? That's carried. I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. That was very efficient. I must say this is probably the shortest library EDTC budget presentation that we've ever had. So the next meeting of Budget Committee is the General Levy Operating Budget and Assessment Analysis, which is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. If necessary, we'll have a meeting Wednesday, February the 1st. Motion to adjourn. Councilor
Yes,
Knight?
Your Worship.
Proceed.
The Council and Committee budget meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 8.09 p.m.
All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you, folks.